One of the many things I enjoy about the holiday season is receiving Christmas cards. It is the one time of the year I can count on hearing from lots and lots of different people, many whom I haven't even seen in years. So it's always fun to find out what's been happening in their lives. And if you were paying close attention just now, you may have noticed that I said I enjoy receiving Christmas cards. With no mention of sending them. Because I have to admit that I consider sending cards to be a bit of a chore, and I have little time, so anymore I have a hard time even getting them out to faraway family and friends. But I do try, which means then that at some point I have to choose a card from all the hundreds and hundreds of choices out there. And really for me, it's not that hard to narrow down. For as cute as Rudolph and Frosty might be, they are not my first choice, as I tend to look for one with a more faith-based sentiment. Therefore, I usually end up with a card that features a verse from Scripture, most often from Isaiah, Luke, or Matthew, because those are the scriptures we tend to hear around the time of Christmas. However, in looking over today's scripture, I found that there were some interesting alternative choices with definite potential for a future Hallmark purchase. For instance, in the Old Testament reading from Zephaniah, it says, "The Lord your God is in your midst. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival." Wow, isn't that a wonderful image? God rejoicing over us and singing with us. So I'm sure that that would probably sell quite a few Christmas cards, right? Yeah, that would do it. Another surefire winner comes from the letter to the Philippians, which says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So that one offers comfort, as well as the peace of the season, which means that that one could also join our list of possibilities, right? All right. So then we go to the gospel in John the Baptist. "You brood of vipers." Wow. Probably wouldn't be one of your more popular Christmas cards, would it? Although you might have a few people you'd send that to, but no. No, we wouldn't do that. So let's try this one. "His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Wow, that's not exactly a cozy Hallmark moment either, is it? So what is this all about? Here we are, the third Sunday in Advent. We've got crowded stores. We've got Christmas music everywhere, and we have lots of decorations, and we have John the Baptist calling us a bunch of snakes. How exactly does that add to our understanding of the Advent season? Well, if we consider that John's role was to prepare the people for the coming of Jesus, then we know that he had to work hard to get their attention and to persuade them that a powerful Messiah would soon be in their midst. He had to convince anyone who would listen to open their hearts and their minds to the reality of Jesus Christ. So by convicting them of their need for repentance, and by warning them that the mere claim of being a descendant of Abraham did not qualify them as being prepared, John forced them to stop and to think about his words, and to then make a choice. They could either repent and be baptized, or they could go on as they always had. Pretty clear cut. In the same way, the church in our own time is trying to help us prepare for the coming of Jesus. By choosing this reading, we too are told of our need for repentance, and we are warned that simply claiming the title of Christian does not prepare us for the coming of Jesus. So our attention may be caught by the unusual name calling in today's gospel, but the point is the same. It's to make us stop and think, and then to make a choice. Either we change our ways and truly prepare for the Messiah, or we go on as we always have. Of course, this can be somewhat confusing. After all, we're good Christians, aren't we? We're here in church. We're trying hard to keep a holy Advent. And we really do try to pay attention. So why are we being fussed at? Well, it's because John the Baptist seems to have a much larger message and makes it clear that good intentions are not enough. Because when asked by his listeners, what then should we do? He came up with some really challenging answers. First, he said, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Huh. In other words, keep enough for yourself, but share out of your excess. Or even better, share generously out of your excess. Then he says to the tax collectors, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you, which means do not take advantage of people. Don't manipulate them for your own gain. And don't be greedy. And finally, when the soldiers ask what they should do, he says to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages. Which could really apply to a lot of situations, because he's saying to those with power, don't be a bully. Don't profit from your position. Be fair and be satisfied. So John the Baptist, he set the bar pretty high, because according to him, those waiting for the Messiah were to act ethically, to have integrity between what they believed and how they behaved, and to understand that justice was for everyone, not just for the privileged few. And if we ask John the Baptist today, what then should we do? My guess is he would reply in exactly the same way, which adds a whole other layer to our keeping of this Advent season, doesn't it? For not only are we to be hopeful and contemplative, preparing our hearts and minds for the coming of Jesus, but according to John the Baptist, we are also to prepare the way by acting with justice and mercy, not gaming the system against the poor, but instead actively helping them, and helping them out of our own excess. So here we are, we're baking and shopping and decorating, and John the Baptist not only roars about a bunch of snakes, but also ups the ante by demanding a spirit of generosity and fairness from all those who would follow Jesus, which in our present social and political climate is a tough call to make and makes this season of self-examination and repentance that much harder to keep. But then, the way to Jesus and the manger was never meant to be easy. And you know, life rarely lines up like that perfect Hallmark moment. So rather than shy away from John the Baptist and just wish he'd leave, and hide out in the warm fuzziness of the secular Christmas season, may we all take time to listen to him and be honest enough to think about the answers to what then we should do to prepare for Jesus. Because in the midst of a hurting, broken world where people are displaced, lives are destroyed, and basic human dignity is trampled, John the Baptist would surely have a lot to say to all of us. And my guess is it would not be pretty. Amen.